Psalm 118, I want you to look with me in verse 9. The Bible said, "Is it better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes?" And so tonight, what we'd like to discuss, just briefly, but necessarily, is this verse of Scripture. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Now, when we go through an election cycle like we're in right now, there's an awful lot of discussion, maybe even anxiety about the candidates and who to vote for and who's going to get into office and all those kind of things. And obviously, if you are zealous in this season that you want to see your candidate elected, if you are concerned that the wrong candidate might get into office or whatever goes through your mind and the news that you listen to and the polling and other things that come up, what happens is there just becomes more and more emphasis on the men and women who are seeking office and less emphasis on the Lord. It just happens because there's so much attention paid to it, and some people get pretty worked up about it. And I've even heard conversations with some that they seem hopeless that if the wrong person, or what they would say is the wrong person that gets into the office, if that happens, oh my gosh, what, you know, and on and on. You hear the conversations. And we need to be reminded as Christians that it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. Now, you understand, I vote, and I so don't be concerned that this is an apathetic speech where I'm not going to do my constitutional opportunity and I think God-given responsibility. But I'm always reminded when it's done and they finally decide who it is that is going to occupy the office, God's still here. And you can trust him as much after an election as you can before election and through the election, because God is God and God doesn't change and election cycles don't dethrone him, thank God. It is better to trust in the Lord. Now, as I read through Proverbs, I keep seeing these verses we're going to talk about tonight. Our political system has fostered some things in our country that are not good. I'm talking about the system, not talking about the candidates. I'm talking about what we're going through right now, where we are, people are being approached, called, texted, emailed, encouraged to vote. Signs are all over the place. And lots of money is being requested and lots of money is being spent. And that tells me something about the system, our system of politics. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 29. What the system has fostered leads to a corruption many times in the people who eventually occupy the offices. Okay? And I want you to see some of the verses that we happen to read. Look at Proverbs chapter 29, for instance, in verse 4. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:4, "The king by judgment establisheth the land." So he's got to be able to make good judgment. We used to talk about people that occupied offices as, and this was predominantly when men were in office, statesmen. And the distinction between a statesman and a politician is a statesman makes the right decision because it's the right decision, even if the decision is not favorable to his reelection. A politician makes a decision that's more favorable to his reelection or her reelection. Okay? So the king by judgment established the land. And so you have to make judgments that are in the best interest of not only the people you represent, but the country or the local office, the city, the county, the state. But look, he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. He that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. In federal election cycles, so that would be representatives, senators, justices, presidents, in a presidential year like this one, that this is what we would call a federal election cycle. In this federal election cycle, It is anticipated, based on what happened in 2020 and what's going on this year, that this election cycle will cost almost, listen, $16 billion. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And what happens in there when an individual or groups, and I think it has to be done through groups, now, or spending money on your behalf to get you elected and you get elected, you owe them. it's just natural. And so that gift will or could, it may not always, but it could distort judgment because the judgment may be in favor of the giver rather than in favor of the constituents. Right? You know, I'm being gentle with the message tonight. I'm not going to pound the pulpit and say, oh, these horrible things. Because we still live here and we still pray for those that are in authority and we still want them to make decisions whereby we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So this won't be a bully pulpit here. But it is true that when there's a lot of money given on behalf of a candidate who wins that election, there is a connection between those individuals and that person, that decisions have to be made that are favorable to the big contributors. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. I don't know how I did this, but here it is. It's verse 16. Proverbs 22, verse 16. The Bible says, he that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. So, again, we have that situation of giving. And when you give to the rich and oppress the poor to increase your riches, you shall surely come to want. You look at that and you say, well, you know, well, we treat the poor in our country pretty well. There's assisted living. Income, you know, adjusted, so people that couldn't afford to live in the kind of house they live in can afford to live in that kind of house. And we have a system where they can get food stamps and other things, Medicaid and other things to help them with health needs, so food, hospitalization, medication, and housing can be helped. You know, and you look at that and you think that's a good thing. But here's the problem. You create dependency. And when you create dependency and then you are no longer able to afford to provide the housing and the food and the medication and the hospitalization, what happens to the people who became dependent? Well, an old friend of mine, William, the guy that I've told you all about, the chauffeur that lived in Beeville, one day he came to me and he said, what do you think about welfare? Well, I knew he wanted to tell me, so I just said it quickly. And then he said, man always feeds what he's about to kill. And I said, explain. He said, you watch him. He'll go in the kitchen. He'll open the drawer. He'll pull out a butcher knife in one hand to get a handful of bird seed. In the other hand, he'll walk in the backyard and say, here, chicky, chicky, chicky. He said, they're going to die in air-conditioned houses watching color television when the government can no longer afford to feed them because they won't know how to feed themselves. That, you know, that's a very sober understanding of what happens. You know, when you've had a necessity where you need medication and you can't afford it, or a house and you can't afford it, or food and you can't afford it, you know what? I'm thankful that you can have that. But dependency is not a good thing. And what it becomes is just what he said here, an oppression of the people who have become dependent, of the poor. And all of that in order, when that is used to appeal to that same group to vote me into office so I can continue to do the same thing. When you can vote handouts from the Treasury, one of the politicians many years ago said, that will be the demise of your country. You know, the love of money is the root of something. them that have the gold make the rules, right? And so you have to be careful with that. You know what it breeds, what it fosters is covetousness. And covetousness is never a good thing. Okay? Proverbs 28:4, I'll show you something else that our political system has fostered. Proverbs 28, look at verse 4. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. You know, interestingly enough, many of the things that were illegal before are legal today. And how did that happen except that we said, oh, well, we're going to praise this group of people, whatever they may be that they were not doing legally, until such a time as we can pass laws to make what they're doing that we have praised legal. I want to show you something. I want you to turn with me. Keep your finger here because we'll come back to Proverbs. But I want you to go with me to Ezekiel chapter 16 and see what we're talking about. Ezekiel chapter 16, and we're going to be in the 40s, get in the vicinity of where you find the 40s, between 40 and 50. Ezekiel chapter 16. Now I want to ask you a question once you get there, and here's the question I want to ask you. Were there two cities once called Sodom and Gomorrah? Okay. What happened to them eventually? What happened to them? They were destroyed by fire and brimstone, were they not? And this all happened at a time when two angels came down to see the wickedness. And when those two angels came into the town, they appeared as men, did they not? What did the men of the city do when those two men arrived? Well, they surrounded Lot's house and they said, we want to know these men. If you know your Bible, you know what that means. They wanted to spend the night with them, right? Enjoying physical pleasure, homosexuality. So we have a sin, or used to be a sin, or something that was illegal here. It was called sodomy. Remember that? Okay. So if you were trying to explain to somebody why Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, you would say, well, among other things, because of the sin of sodomy. Look in Ezekiel chapter 16 at verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. What's the first sin? And what do they call sodomy today? Pride. Can you imagine that? People say, oh, you don't want a King James Bible. It's old and outdated, and we need something that speaks currently. You don't have anything that speaks more currently about what's going on than this book right here. That's the problem. And they're proud of it now. They have praised the wicked, and now we have lawlessness because we took a law off the book that said this isn't legal. And now we've approved it where they can even marry. Isn't that strange? So it fosters not only covetousness, but lawlessness. God's law is out, and the law of men is in. You say, well, why would they do such a thing like that? When you get a large number of people and you accommodate them with a law that allows them to do what used to be illegal, they can vote for you. Because you accommodated, right? So drugs used to be illegal, right? But now we can accommodate this, now we've got, if I have a platform that says, I want to legalize this so I can get into office, you'll vote for me. We lose our ability to have judgment. Now lawlessness becomes the rule of the land in God's law. You ought to read the Ten Commandments when you get home tonight there in Exodus chapter 20 and see how many of those things are now legal in your country. Okay? Lawlessness. Covetousness, lawlessness, and then one more. Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25 and look at verse 5. Proverbs 25:5, the Bible says, take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. In other words, if you want righteousness exalteth a nation, Sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness is exalted in the nation. So if you really want your nation to be strong and exalted, what you do is you have to get wickedness out. Well, here it says, take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. So what you would do is you would remove the wickedness to establish the country in righteousness. But what's happened is we've brought in the wickedness, right, to keep the king in office. It's in the system. So the Bible goes on to say in Proverbs 29:12, if a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. So what happened is the wickedness is out there. Now we're going to accommodate it. And then if lying takes place within, then the servants become wicked. People say, man, we have so much corruption in government. You know where it came from? See, you tell the lie, you hear the lie, you bring the wickedness that was out into a group that can put you into office and then bring it in. Now you have covetousness, you have lawlessness, you have wickedness. And you can't change that by changing candidates. That's why I say it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, because if the system accommodated getting them into the office, well, you wouldn't change the system. Right? And again, I'm not saying this to give you hopelessness and apathy. I've traveled. Some of you have traveled. We got it good here. I'm not fussing about that. We got it good here, I guarantee you. And today, I was able to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And that's what God said we're to pray for those in authority. And I'm thankful for that. But I just realize, in this season, don't get too carried away with it. You get carried away with God. Get carried away with the Lord. Because that's the one that you want to trust. I'm not sure at this point. I think I should say I'm sure at this point the candidates can't fix the problems, because the problems are accommodating getting them into the office in the first place. But I would say the Lord can fix anything. Mainly he can fix you and me. Then he can fix our marriages. And then he can fix our families. Right? He can help lead our neighbors to the Lord Jesus Christ who aren't saved and get them out of hell. Boy, that's a big problem. He can help us with our health. He can help us with our finances, right? You say, well, what if all this comes crashing down? God doesn't change. All the things that he can do for you, he can do for you, whether there's a person in office that favors your political party or doesn't favor your political party. God still is able to accomplish everything that he needs to do in your life, in the life of our church, in the life of your neighbors. Bringing salvation, eternal life, hope, comfort, joy, peace, provision, protection, all those other many wonderful things that God does. And oftentimes, and I'm surely not calling for this in our own country, oftentimes God's grace shines brighter in the greatest moments of weakness. Absolutely. So you put your confidence in the Lord. You trust in him. Don't get too worried about what's happening in the election cycle. You do your job. I'm going to do my job. I'm going to vote. I'm praying. But leave all this to God. He knows what he's doing way better than men do and women.